All right, Jackson, I want you to take a couple deep breaths for me.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
And then I'm going to use this pendulum, and you're going to watch it very closely. All right?
I'm watching.
Watch it closely and keep breathing. Closely. Keep breathing. And you should be getting sleepy. Very sleepy. Excellent. Now, Jackson, you're going to tell me what you experienced with those aliens. In 3, 2...
I remember them. They took me up into their ship. In the middle of grilling a couple burgers. And they zipped. They traveled. And we were in... Old school Disney. It's older. It's older than now. Like the 70s or something. Everybody's wearing bell-bottom jeans and flowers in their hair. And we went on... I pointed at a ride and I said, I want to go. Please. I'm holding their big, long, tendril-like hands. And they're looking at me with their big, bulbous eyes. And they say, okay, calm down, please. And they take me to the Alien Encounters ride. That, you know that ride at Disney... That, you know, they strap you in the chair.
Yes.
And there's the alien in the middle.
I'm familiar.
It pops. Yes. And we went on it. It was so scary. They got a little spooked. But then they came off and they scolded me. They said, that was very offensive. Why'd you make us do that? Is that how you think of us? Is that how all of you think of us? You're racist. You're racist pig. Then they spit in my face. Oh, what happened?
You know, I think we're going to end our session here for today, and I'm going to write you a referral to a nice psychiatrist. How does that sound?
All right, sounds good. Thanks, man.
I'm feeling it. Let's do it. Moose crossings, red hot dogs, missing persons in salty bogs, up to camp with Stephen King, river curses, Wesley sings, homegrown horror!
Hello. And welcome to a subdued episode of
Homegrown Horror.
I'm Jackson, a co-host.
I am B, a co-host.
And we are on the floor today.
We are.
We are on the floor today. We're trying something new.
This is
bubble guts.
I am. Yeah, I had a medication change and I've been sick this week. And I feel the best when I'm laying down. So I'm on a yoga mat on my tummy.
And the show must go on. The consummate professionals that we are going to keep to our meticulous schedule. I honestly think we should create like a Google Calendar for the schedule.
Yes.
Try to keep up with it as much as possible, because I think it's easier for us when we like schedule these out. But yeah, because like we've had a couple instances recently where like we would do it in the middle of the week and then try to turn it around as fast as possible. And it's mostly because like, oh yeah, we have to do two movies this month. Or as of the,
technically,
like,
it's
we
been
did three last month.
And
yeah.
It's going to be three this month.
It's going to be three this month.
Because I've decided for my birthday bonus, we're going to do, similar to last year's Ari Aster party, we're going to do a Guillermo del Toro fest.
So excited. Love me some Guillermo del Toro. Do you want to tell the folks what we'll be watching?
Yeah, we're going to watch Pan's Labyrinth and Crimson Peak.
I'm so excited. So I haven't seen Crimson Peak, so I'm super into that. And Pan's Labyrinth is one of my favorite movies. Like, I wouldn't say I would put it into a birthday episode, but it is quality.
Yeah.
Super sad.
I have not watched it all the way through as an adult. Mm. So I am very excited to do that. And then also, like, I'm a big spoiler person, so I know what happens in Crimson Peak. I've watched a lot of dissection videos, but I remember when it was...
You know all the little twists and turns, right?
Yes, and it was playing... When I worked at Cinemagic, it came out, and I really wanted the... So, fun fact, when you work in a movie theater, generally, like, you can take home the posters.
Yeah.
Or the big cardboard cutouts.
Do you get any of, like, the leftover popcorn at the end of the night?
Yes.
Because they probably have to toss it all.
Yes. So, I never
hot dogs, crappy no. little nachos.
No, because those things you cook as they.
Oh, they come as in they're
ordered.
Bags,
yeah, right. They're cooked as they are ordered. And but yeah, you could take home big old like trash bags full of popcorn.
Hell yeah. I'm going to live off this.
I pretty much did. Because you could have, like, on your breaks, you could have unlimited popcorn and unlimited drinks. So I just would, when I worked, I would just eat popcorn and have high C.
It's interesting going to the movie theater now post-pandemic, because I feel like you just apply the butter on your own now. Every place lets you do that now. Instead of the person at the cash register doing it for you.
We went to Apple Cinemas recently and they put it on for me.
They did?
Yeah. Okay. Because, I mean, I personally like it when they do it because I ask for layered butter.
Yeah.
So they put a scoop of popcorn, butter, scoop of popcorn, butter, scoop of popcorn, butter.
Nice.
It's more even nice distribution. Process.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's mm-hmm. solid.
It is solid.
I understand it because it's like, I even do it on my own. Where it's like, I'll just put it all on top, mm-hmm. and then it's just the buttery goodness up on the top shelf popcorn.
Yeah.
And then you just have bland little popcorn
nuggets
at the bottom
all
there.
The way down. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like you just eat half of it. You know, at some point, because you're just like, this isn't enjoyable anymore.
Yeah,
but we're not talking about movies.
No, we're not talking about movies today. But I suppose, is this story cinematic in a way?
I would say it is cinematic, and it actually garnered the attention of some, drama shows or mystery shows. This was actually featured on Unsolved Mysteries. But before we get into this bad boy. What are your thoughts on ETs, extraterrestrials, aliens?
If I'm being completely honest, I have a deep-seated fear.
A deep-seated fear.
Yep.
Where's the fear come from? Too much Independence Day?
So actually, it honestly comes from... did you ever see the movie or the trailer for the movie... The Third Kind? It's a found footage film?
Yes, I have.
That.
That was your fear. That's where it's done from.
That, like, triggered something within me. I've always had an issue with, like, at nighttime looking out windows
mm-hmm.
into the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But that just, like, for a really long time, I had to sleep with all the blinds closed or, like, stuff like that. Allegra likes to have the window open so she can see the sky and it's beautiful, especially in the morning. You know, waking up to the sun peeking through your window is so nice. And I'm just like, but then the aliens can see me. Yeah,
they can look at me. They're peeking through their little windows and their little hovercrafts.
Mm-hmm. So most of the time is like, I can't fully enjoy stories where people talk about aliens and things like that because I'm afraid I'm next.
I kind of feel that way. I remember when I was really young and I watched Signs with my brother.
Ooh.
And that fucked me up for a minute. Like, that got me really scared. I probably was a little too young to watch that at the time. But I love Signs now.
Yeah.
It is kind of like, after watching it as an adult, it is pretty schlocky. But it is, it's an interesting movie. And like, the ending is so funny to me.
I feel like if aliens were more like, what we see in Star Wars and less like what we see in, you know, movies like The Third Kind or something like that,
yeah.
I would probably be fine.
I think I would still freak out if there were like Star Wars aliens walking around, because the Star Wars aliens walking around are like... super like crazy looking sometimes. Like, there's a lot of thought into making them as alien looking as possible.
Yeah, but also
still humanoid in an interesting way.
But also the lady dancing in Jabba the Hutt's little thing.
Oh,
I've had a crush on her forever.
The Twi'leks are all hot, my guy. Yeah, like it's really funny because the Twi'leks are literally a race that like enslaves each other and ends up becoming slaves a lot. I don't know why.
They might want to address that.
They might want to address that. They should work on that.
They should work on that. But yeah.
But also, like, they get enslaved because they're just super hot. That's, like, part of the reason. And I gotta say, Star Wars always has, like, these weird little horny elements into it. What was it, like, you said recently? George Lucas said...
George Lucas told Carrie Fisher that she couldn't, under the white dress, she couldn't wear a bra because there's no underwear in space.
No underwear in space. But then they put her in a metal bikini. What is that, you think? Is that underwear?
That is horny.
That is horny.
It's not... I wouldn't say that it's underwear, because it's very clearly not meant to be under something.
Do you think the cocaine wrote that scene?
Yes. I think so.
There's a lot of cocaine on that film, from what I heard. We're still talking about movies.
but, you know, these are obviously not Star Wars aliens.
These are not Star Wars aliens, so... In August of 1976, four men were out on an extended camping trip in the Allagash Wilderness, during which they had a close encounter that would affect them for decades. That's my little, Unsolved Mysteries host voice.
Oh, what's his name?
I forgot. Hold on. I watched this the other day.
My brain said Chris Hansen, and I'm like, no.
Take a seat, alien. Right over here.
Wrong.
Let's see. Unsolved Mystery Host.
Or at least the old one, because there's new...
Yeah, there are new ones.
And I don't know who...
That's not... What? Okay. Unsolved Mysteries Host. Not Murders in Maine.
Oh. My normal... You can tell what we look up a lot.
Robert Stack. That was it. Thank you. So that's the Robert Stack voice. I was about to say, like, Robert something. Robert Small? That's what I wanted to say. So, August 1976 in the Allagash Wilderness, we have four young art students from Massachusetts.
Okay.
That had gone on this fateful camping trip. And for years following the events of this camping trip, we have Jack Wiener, Jim Wiener, Charlie Fultz, and Chuck Rack. These are the four individuals that went on a camping trip. And Jack Wiener started having vivid, intense night terrors.
No.
Where he would find himself in a very bright room. And next to them, seated on a bench, were Jim, Chuck, and Charlie, all staring ahead, naked. No one was doing anything other than staring. And Jack turns his head and looks in front of him, and out of a bright light comes a shadowy-looking figure. Jack would awake, sweating, breathing heavily, screaming, clearly suffering from these night terrors. The only person that was privy to these events were his wife. But then Jack decided to start talking about his experience and start opening up more about these nightmares. And found out that he had a comrade in his brother, Jim, who was having the exact same dream.
Fuck no.
A dream of being in a brightly lit room, and Jack, Charlie, and Chuck near him, naked, as they were being experimented on by some kind of creature. He would often wake up feeling violated, unclean. But the commonality between these dreams, other than some, you know, similarities of being experimented on, this fear gripping them, was that Charlie and Chuck were also present. Jim and Jack, the brothers, decided that this has to be connected to that infamous camping trip that happened 12 years prior. So they started talking about this in like 1988 together.
Oh.
So it was a long, long time until they were actually opening up to each other about this.
Okay, I thought that these dreams were happening on the trip.
No, these weren't happening on the trip. There were dreams that were happening much later. Like, they didn't really talk about any of their experiences on the trip, and we're going to get into that.
That reminds me of, I did start listening to an episode of And That's Why We Drink, where they were reading listener stories. I think they were specifically around aliens, and there was one about this girl who, she is a twin.
Yeah.
And so she had always had these dreams. And then years later, she found out her twin sister was, quote-unquote, having the same, quote-unquote, dream.
Whoa.
And I'm like, no, 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 no. That kind of shit. No, thank you.
Did they start, like, talking about abductions? Did they start opening up on that or something?
It was just like someone sent in this story. So gotcha. Obviously,
so it's like a quick clip.
It's a quick kind of like, this is the story, and we still don't totally, like, we both think it has something to do with extraterrestrials. We both believe that this is something that really did happen to us, and it's not just a dream.
Yeah.
Which, no. I stopped listening around that point. I'm like, I'm tapping out.
Out of here. Yeah, backing up.
Thank you. I'll be back on the next episode. I always say, like, in my little trigger warning things, I'm like, if you can't handle this, we'll see you next week. Yep, that's me. Bye.
I'm Audi 5000. So they had this recollection of the trip 12 years ago. And so they got back together with Charlie and Chuck, and they all started sharing a common memory from the trip that might be connected to Jim and Jack's vivid nightmares.
Okay.
2 days into an extended camping trip in the Allagash Wilderness, the boys found themselves on Chamberlain Lake. Jim had recalled looking up into the sky and seeing a bright, round object with fuzzy edges just floating above the treetops. Like, wasn't moving. It was just hovering completely still.
Like the Phoenix Lights.
No. Jim looked at the UFO, and I mean UFO in the midst, like...
an unidentified flying object.
Exactly that. Yes. So when I'm saying UFO, I'm not saying it was aliens, but it was aliens.
You're using the scientific use of the term.
I'm using the scientific usage of the term UFO. I am not outright just saying this is happening, because we'll get into it. It's an interesting discussion. But Jim was looking at the UFO through his binoculars for 15 seconds, he said, when it, quote, winked out from outside, outside edges inward, as if it's collapsing on itself. So it's just kind of like sucking itself up.
Ooh.
But the sighting did not yuck the yum of the boys, and they continued on with their excursion. Things would start taking a rather... dangerous turn, however. When on the fourth day of their trip, they were settled up at Eagle Lake, they'd already set up camp, they decided to take a little night canoe trip out into the lake.
You're totally ruining camping for me right now.
My guy, you know, I'm not saying that you're always going to get abducted by aliens when you're camping. I think you have a higher chance of getting struck by lightning, you know? Or getting attacked by a bear.
So it's probably like a 1 in 1 trillion chance, right?
Absolutely. I would not be scared of getting abducted. I'd be scared about getting murdered by somebody. Or like getting killed by an animal.
Yeah, probably.
Those are my main fears when I go out into the wilderness. And oh my God, I'm such a baby when it comes to like peeing in the middle of the night. If I have to go out into, like, forest, dense forest, I'm like, absolutely not.
That's why I usually camp where they have potties.
I think it's insane.
I'm a fancy camper. I'd like to do more wilderness campy, but most of the time I am a...
I love wilderness camping. I love being in the thicket during the day. However, at night, I'm fucking terrified. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not going outside. I'm just going to sit here and read it on with my little flashlight. I'm going to freak out at every noise that I hear.
Mm-hmm. One thing that, the last time we went camping, like, I was up pretty late because there's my mom was in the ICU and it was like this whole thing. It was like very stressful because we just had to get through the night so we could drive back home in the morning. And it was like so quiet. It was so quiet. It hurt my ears. Have you ever had that?
No.
Like there was not a sound.
Just dead quiet.
Dead fucking quiet.
That's actually scarier to me than hearing.
That's why it was so hard to sleep.
It was
so hard to sleep too because it was like the whole world had just stopped. Like I couldn't. There was not even like the sound of anything. Like
wait, was there sound previously and then it just halted immediately?
I mean, like. It sort of died out gradually, like, because quiet time was around, like, 10 p.m. So, like, yeah, people were up and, like, doing stuff. And then just, like, when we got into our tent, like, everything just sort of, like...
Fizzled out.
And it was so uncomfortable. But, yeah, it was the first time I ever felt like it was so quiet. It actually hurt me.
Wow.
It was very bizarre. But it's just, like... The other thing I wanted to say, if you're ever concerned about, like, because Allegra has this whole thing where, like, it becomes nighttime and she just can't, like, her anxiety just, like, skyrockets. So yeah. She found this thing that is very sweet. It's like, think about it this way. You know, it's late, but somewhere there is a baker starting their morning.
That's what gets you through it.
Yeah, there's a baker somewhere that
society is continuing on, pressing forward to feed
specifically,
the machine.
Specifically, the wholesomeness of there's a baker getting up early to start the process of baking the bread and
getting
the bagels, getting that bread, and thinking of it that way is more wholesome. Where it's like somebody's already up and starting their day.
I agree. That's a nice way.
You're
to
not alone.
Things. Yeah, you're not alone. Except for that hour between, like, midnight and 2 a.m.
Yeah, then good luck.
So I'm not sure what time these guys are out on the lake here, but they're paddling along, and Chuck is first to feel like he's being stared at. He's on the back of the canoe. He turns and looks over his right shoulder to see the same large glowing orb floating effortlessly in the sky. Some distance away.
No.
Chuck lets everybody know what he's seeing, and the rest turn to look. For some time, they just sat there in their canoe, staring at the orb. Until Charlie decided to use his flashlight to make contact.
That's why this is happening.
Why would you contact it? Why would you try to, like, interact?
No, why would you? It's so funny. Because, okay, I have another very quick tangent, and I promise I'll let you...
You keep going, buddy. That's just what we do.
So, I found this Instagram yesterday called Latinos Against the Supernatural.
Latinos Against the Supernatural. They're like,
and
absolutely
so,
fucking not.
Yeah, and it's like, it's this guy, and he's reviewing videos... Where the first one that I saw is it's a night vision cam, probably like a trail cam, you know, that you have to like watch for animals.
Yeah, those are so cool.
And, you know, there's a lot of bright lights. And then in the back, you actually see like this arm snaking around a tree in the back. And
that's gotta be fake as hell.
he's like, you know, your lights are bright. You know, I know you're probably very impressed by that, but you know what else is brighter? The daytime. You know what else? Like, yeah, you might see something moving back there. You know what? That's not your business. You should go to bed. It's nighttime. Get out of here.
It's time. And the aliens need to go to the grocery store too at some point.
So all like
unless you're the grocery store.
I just love like so he reviews videos like this and he's just sort of like, no, no, ma'am, go. Just cease and desist.
I love this guy. He would like
it's so he's
if
so
he was
funny.
In a horror movie, it would be done in 20 minutes. He'd walk into the haunted house and immediately turn back out.
In this instance, he'd be like, you know, that's not your business. They're doing their business in the sky. You're right. They're going to the grocery store. Charlie, stop.
Yeah.
Don't bother Mr. E.T. Yeah. He is just trying to live his life. And you know what? You're doing some kind of weird Morse code. It probably doesn't translate. You just offended his mother.
Exactly. It's like, oh, I'm going to get this guy.
Fuck that guy.
And maybe that's exactly what happened. Charlie used his little flashlight on the craft and message. Charlie used his little flashlight on the craft and message SOS.
Of all things to
display, you know? First off, yes, the presumptuousness of being like, oh, they're going to know what this means. I mean, maybe they do, you know?
Maybe they do. Maybe.
And they're like, we got to help these guys.
Maybe it means SOS is son of sluts. You offended both my mother and my father. Fuck you.
Or maybe you accidentally like signaled DTF.
Like, all oh, right. Yeah. Sounds good. I have a good tentacle that hasn't been used in a while.
It's been a while. This never happens to me. It's a
couple nipple clamps, a couple pumps. It'll be fine.
We'll get into it. The ship shined then a bright light below it and then immediately started going after the four.
This is totally Charlie's fault.
Do you think the aliens noticed them? I feel like they all kind of felt like they were being looked at, so they probably did, like, yeah.
They were probably sitting there like, hey.
They already see us, but why would
you know, sometimes when you're like looking at someone and you're just fucking around and you're like, I just want to see how long it takes for them to notice me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, is like, then they got noticed and they're like, all right, boys, go in. They were just fucking around on a Tuesday night and these boys are like, maybe they did say DTF.
Chuck said that as the ship was approaching, he was actually kind of happy about it because he knew that they were going to find out who these folks were. Charlie was much less enthused at the front of the canoe and began furiously paddling.
He's the one that started it.
Yeah, no, he's the one. He was the one that started it, and I was like, oh, shit.
No, very, very, yeah, it's like, don't.
Don't the others it. Did try to help paddle forward until the
except
light.
Except for the one guy that's like, hell
I think,
yeah.
I think Chuck also like kind of snapped out of it maybe.
Chuck is really into those tall grays.
He's into it.
Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah. I love tall women.
Until the light was right on top of them. No. The next memory that the boys share together is being back on the shore with the canoe. Looking back up at the bright orb and light. They're all looking at the object as if they're posing for a picture. Then the object did the same thing two nights ago when Jim saw it. It imploded in on itself, but then reappeared much farther away in the sky and then streaked away into the night.
So they're teleporting. Not yeah. teleporting, but...
Some kind of, like, yeah, teleportation. Or yeah. Like, quick momentum kind of like shifting out of the atmosphere.
I love that they're all just laying on the beach like it's the end of Evangelion.
They're not laying on the beach. They're like standing.
Oh.
I don't know if this is accurate, but in Unsolved Mysteries, like three of them were standing like
was there a reenactment?
It was a reenactment. Yeah, there was. We can check it out later if you want.
No. No. I'm good, thanks.
The boys didn't really discuss what happened that evening. Because they were so fatigued. They had a weird sense of calm among each of them. And by their recollection, they would only have been out on the lake for a mere 20 minutes. But they came back to a dying fire, which had been previously fed, they had described, with large loss.
Wait. These motherfuckers fed the fire, kept it going, and then
went out on the lake. Yeah.
You know what?
All right, Smokey.
Smokey is so mad.
Smokey is very mad. No one's tending to the fire.
Because I did Girl Scouts growing up, like, we would have to, like, somebody would have to sit up, and, like, what after we doused the fire, we would have to wait for all the embers to go out before everyone could go to bed.
Yeah, and those are things that, like, you can't really douse effectively. No. I mean, you could keep trying to pour water in it, but by the time you're able to get those embers out, it's like you got a puddle at the bottom of the pit.
Yeah. So, you know, it was impressed upon me from a very early age that you use fires responsibly. Yeah.
If you can snuff it, even better, you know?
Yeah, this is not responsible in any way, which, I don't know, when was Smokey the Bear a thing? This is the 70s, right?
Yeah, I think Smokey was alive and well and mauling campers that left their fires unattended.
Yeah, the aliens got to them first. Smokey's disappointed.
The boys were too tired to think about the logs, though, that should have been burning bright because they had lit it up pretty well.
So it's been a couple hours.
Yeah, potentially. Then they ended up sleeping. They didn't discuss the previous night. And then they finished their camping trip. They went off on their excursion for another 10 days.
What the hell? And they just didn't talk. Well, obviously they didn't talk about it for like decades.
Maybe they mentioned it, but like, because...
Hey, do you guys remember getting fucked by a really tall alien? What?
Well, they don't remember anything about being on the ship at the time. They just remember seeing the orb and then seeing it later. Well, so when they did return, they did all, like, share their UFO sighting with friends and family.
Okay.
But no one believed them. And so they kept that to themselves for a long time.
Question. If a family member did come to you, or a friend, because I know you said that you've gone, like, camping a little bit in the Appalachian Trail, what would you, if your friend that you went with, like, was like, hey, I was doing this again and I had this experience, what would you say?
I would... My first thought would be to be concerned about the mental health of my friend and to try to assess that as best I can. But then, I mean, if I perceive them to be sane, I would lend some credence to that, honestly. I think that I would start leaning in and trying to better understand what they saw, if I could try to explain it in some way.
Is there anyone that you'd believe wholesale?
So
without a question.
I'm not going to mention his name, but a very close friend of mine that you've met.
Okay.
Had an experience.
Okay.
And I believe him.
Yeah.
Like.
That's too. I'm sorry. The degrees are too close. Oh, no. You said, yeah, it's probably. Don't worry. You're going to be fine. You know. You buried the lead there, my dude.
That's not about him.
But anyway, yeah.
My friend described seeing a small, round, flying object that was darting around in front of his house. Hovering.
No.
He said that it peeked through his, like, windows.
Jackson, stop!
I'm sorry. Who knows what it is, B? Could be some government tech or something. Who knows? Some secret government tech.
It's a drone.
I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
That's the thing. It's like, even if aliens were real, what would you do? You know?
Well, actually, I have a discussion for that later, but continue your story.
All right. So, back into 1976 with the boys. Years after, they're telling people, no one's believing them, they don't want to get ridiculed, but the nightmares had started surfacing for Jim and Jack.
Not the other two, as far as we know?
Not the other two. Charlie and Chuck didn't have any nightmares.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Jack then decided to follow up and reach out to a UFO researcher named Raymond Fowler for help. Raymond had already written some books about UFOs and abductions. Raymond then helped get Jack connected with a hypnotherapist through his UFO research network to help recover the lost details of that fateful August night of 1976. Jack and Jim ended up going through hypnotherapy first, and then Charlie and Chuck also underwent hypnotherapy later, and each of them claimed to have a similar experience and repressed memory. They had done all the hypnotherapy and then sat alone together in a room and then recalled their experiences to each other. Jack recalls seeing little alien men getting up in his face.
Oh, they're not grays.
They're grays.
Little?
Yeah, they're kind of like lanky. I don't know if they're like average height or a little bit taller.
Because I thought grays were very tall.
These guys I think were like depicted as more like 5 feet tall.
Interesting.
Kind of lanky. They had, you know, the big bulbous classic alien eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But he recalls this alien getting up in his face and telepathically communicating with him, telling him to not be afraid and we will not harm you and to just do what they say. Jim recalls being angry at the creatures and wanting to thrall them, and the aliens being cautious of Jim, wondering if he was going to come at them. Charlie recalls being scanned with a 14-inch thin rod with a little bulb on the end scraping along his arms, chest, legs, and thighs. He also remembers being scanned by a large X-ray object, it seemed. Chuck doesn't recall being tested on personally, but remembers seeing Charlie undergoing experimentation by being subjected to some kind of large proboscis object.
What does proboscis mean?
A large object with a proboscis. Proboscis? You know, like a mosquito's nose, the mosquito needle thing?
Yeah.
I think that's like a proboscis. Probe. I'm probably saying it wrong. I'm not looking.
Anyway, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
He was writhing in
pain. I'm just an idiot.
But each of the men recalled that they were being experimented on. The aliens would be moving their limbs around, flipping them over, scanning them, touching them with these metal objects, opening their jaws and closing them.
Then they were also taking samples from each of them, and which were just a bunch of bodily fluids, like blood, urine, semen, tissue.
Mm-hmm.
It was clear that these men were being tested on, like a zoologist might test, like a rhino or something, or like some new creature. They were meant to be studied and understood. Do you think there's probably, like, some alien thesis paper? Like, these are just a bunch of grad student aliens?
That makes me feel a little bit better about it, but these, not really.
These folks don't seem to have an ethics board when it comes to experimentation.
No, I don't think so.
They got no IRB on their side, I think.
No.
This seems like if this was flying under our standards when it comes to research, this would not be a published paper.
I'm sure that on their home planet, they have, like, people that are protesting for the ethical treatment of human experiment subjects.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Or do they have the singularity?
Ooh.
You know, there's a couple, like, alien conspiracy theorists out there that believe once we attain the AI singularity, like, someday all humans are going to be, like, connected through AI or connected, like,
we're going to be a hive.
We're going to be like hive mind.
Did you see Elon Musk is recruiting people to be chipped?
What a terrible person to be chipping people. And I think it's fucking crazy. Like, there's so many Republican, like, right-wing people saying, like, oh, yeah, Elon's going to microchip everybody. It's like, weren't you upset about Bill Gates doing that, supposedly? It's just crazy.
COVID vaccine.
It's just crazy. What billionaire do you want to side with, B?
None.
Hey, everybody, there's no war except class war.
There's no war in Bossing Say.
Chuck recalls saying they shouldn't be doing this to people. Like, yeah. I agree. You shouldn't be doing this to people.
You know, this might be a good time to just talk about it. The fact that, you know, we've talked about the fact that the Roswell papers have been released.
So the episode of Unsolved Mysteries also was talking about the Roswell stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, there have been other official military documents that have shown that they have had contact with something, someone. So there's a part of me that's like, why doesn't the U.S. government, like, why doesn't the U.N. have a deal?
I'm
and
sure.
Like, the people that are, like, because I'm sure that there are definitely people who would offer themselves up to our ET overlords to be experimented on. There's some crazy freaks out there.
There are some freaks
so
out there.
So there's a part of me that's like, yeah, let's have an ethics board where it's like, yeah, unless there's something about the surprise of being picked up and experimented on without consent that makes you a better test subject.
Absolutely wild.
Fucking wild.
I don't know. Like, there's some, like, I remember here, I don't have the sources. These sources are not going to be in the show notes because I can't remember them.
Yeah.
But I remember watching some, like, documentary about alien abductees. Some person recalled being, like, brought to the alien planet and living there for a little bit, then being, like, sent back to Earth. Other people were, like, being chosen to, like, come out and then were, like, rejected.
There's one that I remember where I think it was on Last Podcast on the Left, they were talking about how there was this guy who he was visited by, like, the same alien woman.
Yeah.
And she ended up pregnant, and she, like, she brought their daughter at one point too.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of, it's crazy.
Yeah.
To think about that. But again, there's a part of me that's like, what about, you know, jumping people basically makes it better? Like, why wouldn't you want?
I think they're probably just having a hard understanding of, like, how
we feel about it.
Well, I mean, I guess they want to experiment on us, and that is the motivation if this is real.
I mean, yeah, we don't you know, when we're tagging, like, sharks, we don't ask people, them.
Like,
yeah,
exactly. It's like, exactly that. It's like, we will experiment on creatures without asking them, and maybe they feel that same way. Which is kind of fucked up, because then there's this understanding then
that if that's the thought, these creatures would believe themselves to be superior to humans in that capacity to be just able to like scoop them up,
yeah,
do all their weird little things. It's not gonna happen to you, B. Can't wait for our next camping trip. Okay, so all of them went under this hypnotherapy, you know, and had this similar experience. Now, let's also remind ourselves that the hypnotherapist is acquired through this, like, UFO research network through Raymond Fowler.
Yeah.
Now, I think that deserves a little bit of discussion. I think there's... If you're a hypnotherapist, you probably already understand how to influence people.
Hypnotherapy.
In this kind of, like, weirdness, weird kind of pseudoscience thing.
It's probably not admissible in court.
No, it's definitely not. I think, like, I think most people would say that it's kind of, like, not really a thing. But also of note, they did go through a lie detector test, all four of them, and they came out clean.
That's also not admissible in court.
Also not admissible in court. Also, that lie detector polygraph test was administered by a UFO research affiliate. So
what you're telling me is there's a
motivation behind...
There's a conflict of interest across the board. There is a bit of a
conflict of interest. Honestly, it would be better to have a third-party person come in to do this, but even at the same time, we know who's signing the paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, this would be better if this was undergone through some kind of, like...
If each of them
impartial
went...
Impartial funding source.
Or if each of them... Each of them got, like, if they were given, like, a stipend by these UFO researchers, and each of them went to a different hypnotherapist and a different polygraph person, and they all came back with similar or the same results, then I would be more likely to say, okay, I think in this, that's, like, the best outcome for this kind of investigation.
Yeah, but also, let's go back to the whole thing of, all four of them have the memory of seeing the bright orb in the sky. This is pre-hypnotherapy.
Right.
Under the hypnotherapy, they're having this discussion of being experimented on. Now, that's the interesting part. So they're holding on to this belief that they were all saw a UFO.
Yes.
But then they're having this memory, repressed memory, in under hypnosis of being experimented on. Also, something to kind of think about, this is 1976. Sci-fi's pretty big at this point.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, the thought of... This was mentioned in the Unsolved Mysteries episode. Like, people are absorbing this pop culture phenomenon. They all have kind of a similar situation of, like, an orb or bright lights.
Yes.
And being abducted and experimented on. Like, that is the popular, like, mythos. Since, like, the 50s, 40s, 30s, that's kind of, like, been a similar story in, like, you know, little booklet sci-fi, you know, media.
Like, all I'm thinking... So I went and looked it up because I couldn't remember it in French, but Folie à deux. Have you ever heard of Folie à deux?
I have not.
So Folie à deux means the madness of two, and that's what I was thinking of. But it is a shared psychosis or shared delusional disorder between one or two or more people.
We'll get into it. After the therapy sessions and the joint, like, you know, sharing their stories, all having a similar experience, I would love to hear more of the tapes.
Did they have some on Unsolved?
Yes, on Unsolved Mysteries, they had, like, some of the tapes, and I'm kind of like, that's pretty freaky that it's all the same thing. Also curious, like, if a person's just thinking about that night and thinking about aliens, would it lead them to the same conclusion? I think, I'm not really sure. Like,
yeah.
Because it's like, I would love to hear more about, like, the hypnotherapist and what the hypnotherapist is saying to them. You know?
Yeah.
Because if he's saying, like, something that is directly affiliated with aliens, experimentation, being taken up into a ship, I would start doubting the credibility of that. But if he's just saying, think about that night, maybe I would, like, be a little bit more open to it, you know? Anyway. So,
And the money kept rolling in from everywhere. Just kidding. Money didn't really come. Except for Raymond Fowler, who ended up releasing a book called The Allagash Abductions, I believe.
Of course.
Detailing his findings. And he would go on to publicize many other books. And he would go on The Oprah Show talking about his own abduction experience. You know, this is kind of like a big business thing. He interviews people and kind of writes about that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, not sure how lucrative that is, but the boys ended up also going on the Joan Rivers Show to describe their encounter.
Did they talk about the aliens' fashion?
I think the aliens' fashion was, like, kind of naked. Kind of gross looking.
Mostly naked. Because I used to watch Joan Rivers on The Fashion Police. With my mom. So that's all I'm thinking.
Who pulls it off?
Who pulls off naked better?
Aliens or Yoko Ono?
Probably Yoko Ono.
Probably Yoko Ono.
Yeah.
So, a little bit of an interesting turn within the story. You'll see, you've been seeing my notes the entire time.
I'm not really reading them, dude.
But they fall off at a certain point.
Yeah.
In 2016, Chuck comes out and has an interview claiming the story around the abduction is hooey.
Okay.
He said that, personally, he only got into the story because he thought he would be making a buttload of money. And he was very money-focused. He thought that this would be a great opportunity to capitalize. So he said that his confession under hypnotherapy was just...
So he's saying that I was not actually hypnotized.
He's saying, I think, that he's not actually believing the abduction situation.
Or is it just, him denying... He does believe what?
He does believe he did see an object in the sky, though.
Okay.
He said he saw the object, definitely. But he doesn't believe that he was abducted. He doesn't believe that part. Very interesting, like, you know, point there. It's kind of weird. So, he also tells a different story altogether. I think what he might be chalking things up to is some kind of shared psychosis.
Were they on anything?
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
So Chuck claims that, I'm going to look this up because I don't know what this term is, that they had an Afghan temple ball with them on the camping trip. And the night of this weird situation, okay, it's hashish.
Okay.
Which is like resin, which is just concentrated like marijuana.
Yes.
Looks dope. Anyway.
All right. Definitely not a ball.
Definitely not a ball. Well, that one is, and these ones are.
Oh, I see
that. So, like, these big, shiny...
They look like chocolates.
That would fuck you up.
I think so. You know what?
While temple balls look like a lot of fun, they pack a punch.
Where's that from? Yeah, it says...
Well, now I have to include it in the sources here. This is from herb.co. Not for the infrequent smoker looking to get high.
Okay. I just thought that was interesting.
That's interesting. Okay, yeah. So this is some really concentrated pot, basically.
So maybe not like Folie à Deux, but maybe they are influencing each other as they are under the influence.
Potentially. I mean, but they're sharing this experience. Now, okay, the other folks will refute the fact that there are not facts. I'm not saying anything. Perry Mason, I'm not saying anything. There's a slip of the tongue.
He's looking at you very disappointed.
Yeah, he's nodding no. I'm not trying to say one thing or the other. I'm just presenting. I'm just asking the questions, the probing questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very Tucker Carlson. I'm just asking questions.
No.
A bow tie just appeared around my neck.
Oh, no. There's a contract for Fox News.
Oh, billions of dollars. It was like 100 million or something. It wasn't a billion. Anyway.
Replace the B with an M and we're good.
Fox News? Wait, Box News?
No. Who? On the Billion and Million.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Box News.
Moxie News.
Oh, no.
Moxie News?
Yeah, that's our new Moxie News Network. Yep. Okay, that's our
all
next
all your right-wing news you want. Let's aww. Yeah, let's open a right-wing news network. That seems to be lucrative.
Yeah, everybody listening is like, yeah, I definitely peg them as definitely.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, just claim to be right-wing and just, like, spout off the most, like, yeah, we'll just say ACAP at the end of every episode. I'm a little confused. Where was I? Okay, yeah. So Chuck is claiming that this is some hooey.
Mm-hmm. But the
others are saying that Chuck
is not our friend anymore.
He's not our friend anymore. We hate him. And Chuck even was. They all claim that Chuck at one point within their friendship came up to them with this idea to make millions of dollars off the Allagash abductions.
Okay.
By refuting the claims of Raymond Fowler and other sources, saying, "Hey, if we go against what they're saying and come up with a different story, we can make more money because of the controversy, and that's what television wants."
So they're saying that's what he's doing by refuting it, is this is another way that he's trying to make money.
I think that is, they don't outright say it, but that is what's implied. Yeah. That he's always been kind of like out there. They say that he got banned from some UFO conventions because he's like really mean.
So he is no longer welcome in the community. So he's turning his back. When the world turns back on you, you turn your back on the world.
What's that from?
It's The Lion King.
Oh, okay, cool. I forgot.
Jackson is not as doesn't have a photographic memory of every single Disney movie he's ever watched. I literally
memorize things and then dump it and then forget everything.
You know,
I basically neuralize myself at the end of each day.
You kind of do. I love when I bring up stories of things that you've done on the podcast. You're like, yeah.
Wasn't me. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Plausible deniability.
Plausible deniability. Well, I always have a beer on these episodes. Anyway, so, yeah, there's a lot of controversy around here. Chuck is saying, yeah, nay, nay, nay. One of the big things also that he disputes is the time change. So they said it felt like they were only out there for 20 minutes. But they had built up a big fire. When they came back, it was just burnt down to little embers.
Mm-hmm.
So Chuck says that the fire was not as big as they thought it was, that it was only like 3-inch diameter logs that they were throwing in there. So not a huge burn for a while.
Okay.
That's actually like more of a starter. Like you're just starting a fire, basically.
Okay.
Everybody else says, no, there were like 10-inch logs in there.
So it was like big fire.
Big fire. Big fire.
Bonfire.
Big log. Big fire.
Bonfire.
Bonfire. But, you know, there's a breaking up with the boys here, you know? They're shunning Chuck. They're sticking to their claim that this happened.
Chuck is the Zayn Malik of the Allagash expedition.
I love that. But, yeah, no, it's like totally... It just kind of fizzles out for them. You know, Jim and Jack are still going out even to this day, talking about their experience and bringing it up. Charlie also is, you know, backing this situation. But a lot of interesting things. I do think there's more credibility around questioning the ethics of the hypnotherapy session.
Absolutely.
If we're going to try to refute this thing at all, I would question that. Because it's like a bunch of people... all with a very specific directive. Like, you wouldn't be hiring the Flat Earth Committee to go, like, measure the curvature of the Earth.
Oh, but they do.
Right? But they do. And
they do.
And they keep coming back with very confused results.
Yeah. And again, I, as somebody who is very into true crime, I know that lie detector tests, not admissible. There are a lot of things that you can do to either sway the results in your favor, or if you're unaware, things that can, you know, you will inadvertently do that will swing it out of your favor.
I doubt there's any peer-reviewed studies that these folks have conducted.
Absolutely not.
You know, we got these books and they get publicized. It's a good talking point.
Yeah.
But maybe something did happen. Who knows?
I think aliens do exist in some capacity, but absolutely. To think of them as highly intelligent beings, I'm not really sure. You know? I mean, there's billions and billions of stars out there and galaxies.
I
mean,
I would think that in order to get, like, there are billions and billions, but I think if, depending on how far they are, I definitely feel like they may have, like, they definitely have a more concrete grasp of space travel than we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, it always bothered me that the fact that, like, you know, there are people that are like, oh, we are the center of the universe.
That and also it's like, bothers me it in some capacity.
It is infinite. So there's absolutely no way that we're the only fucking life forms in the entire universe. Now it's getting existential, but bro, like, there's no way.
I agree with you, B. I think it is kind of presumptuous to assume that we're, like, the only truly intelligent life in the galaxy. And I mean, I think that this is, it got really quiet in here also. The fan shut off for this moment. I don't know what to believe. I want to believe, you know?
I want to believe that they're out there. I want to believe that they're not going to peek through my windows at night.
Well, that's the thing, is just kind of like, it is terrifying. Okay, so recently in history, we've had like these UFO sightings, like UFO, the scientific definition.
Yes.
Being uncovered by the Department of Defense. There was, you know, committee hearings and all that. And there was, you know, classified documents that had become declassified, basically detailing, like, fighter pilots following fast-moving object.
This is the one that I listened to them. They did a whole episode on last pod.
Yeah, and, like, it disappeared right off the radar.
That one felt more okay.
Yeah, that feels
when there,
like,
are abductions involved, I get
it's hard
more
to,
squeamy.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of, like, think, is this actually happening? But also, if the tales of what DOD is saying out there, and if those are extraterrestrials moving that rapidly through space, or air, that's pretty fucking crazy. I mean, they didn't outright say it was a foreign government.
Yeah.
They don't have any details of, like, what China might be doing that might be related to this when it comes to flight, or Russia. I mean, probably not Russia. We've seen their work in recent history. Oh, free Ukraine. And China, I don't know. There are some recent war games that were done to, like, play out. Okay, what happens if China attacks Taiwan? And now we have this, like, backing from Biden saying, okay, we'll go to Taiwan's defense if this happens. They did a bunch of simulations. We lose every time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of unclear. But also at the same time, if this is some, like, secret weapon or secret device that is from China, assuming it's China, I don't think it's Sweden.
No.
Then, yeah, no, that would be a big problem. And there are also some other, like, alien conspiracy theorists that say, oh, other people have gotten their hands on this alien technology before and are abusing it. But it all comes down to, like, these people saying there is extraterrestrial life and they're far more advanced than us.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I'm also not sure.
I want to believe, like, the more positive conspiracy theorists. Some of them are saying, like, oh, we're going to get admitted into the Galactic Council one day, and we're going to be given all these, like, great resources.
Because as recompense for them taking so many of us.
Like, we're now up to a point. Again, we'll get into the singularity, and then we'll be deemed worthy enough to join up with the rest of the galaxy. What's this?
Manism.
Oh, okay. So, keeping up with everything, you know, talking about, you know this one?
I do.
About this one? Okay. Yeah. You know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, alien crafts, alien experimentation. They're zipping around the galaxy. They're zipping around space and over us. But, you know, they got to park this somewhere, right?
And that brings us to our next mainism.
Hey, hey, it's a mainism.
So actually, so I thought of this because...
right in the middle.
My wife, Allegra...
My wife.
She's my wife. She's always on the ticky-talkies. And this was something that was really big, is the alien house. So it is... like, it's an abandoned property, and... I'm going to say it here. Don't just fucking go through abandoned properties, please and thank you.
Don't do it.
Legal for legal reasons, don't do that.
Perry Mason says don't do it. That's trespassing.
Don't do that. But so it's in Bristol, Maine. And you can see a lot. There's a lot of TikToks about it. There's a lot of videos. There is a Reddit thread that talks about this. But this is tucked away in the woods of Bristol, Maine, and it's just, I don't know, are you seeing the photos are really weird, like it almost has Winchester House vibes, where it's like, how, what,
like,
is
like interesting geometrical like support structures. It's kind of like a triangle. There's, and this, like, is just some abandoned house. Do they know who owned it?
Was just built out in the middle of the woods?
So this is what... So I'm getting this from WCYY. They say, the video shows what is left of a strange structure that has been dubbed the Alien House, but by many on the internet. The pair of structures are unique, with a design that can only be described as eccentric. In fact, the house was built as though it had been split into two fragments and dropped onto Earth. Perhaps this is where the Alien House nickname is born from, but maybe it has something to do with a 1994 unexplained incident that took place in Bristol as well. Let me click on that.
Wow. Okay. So, like, dropped in... Is it, like, it's got piping, though, right? It's got plumbing. It's connected to the power.
It's abandoned, so it's probably not connected to anything anymore.
Yeah, but, I mean, they could see evidence of, like, the wiring existing there.
Yeah, so there was a 1994...
Hello, what's this advertisement down here?
It's for Temu. Okay. But Bristol in 1994, there was a person who was driving home and had a UFO hover above their vehicle, mimicking their every move. This is from Q97.9. Turning when they turned, stopping when they stopped. The UFO eventually ended up at their home. Frightened, the young family proceeded to travel to their grandparents' home. As they approached the coast, the UFO disappeared.
Sounds like we might have another episode on our hands.
I mean, that sounds like that's like the end of that story. So there are some people that believe that.
Oh, we can find 30 minutes in there.
There's a ton of graffiti. I remember seeing that in some of the videos, but it's...
So this is like a well-worn area. People are aware of this structure.
Yes, that's why I'm saying let it be. Let it be.
Honestly, I don't really see... I don't think this is very mysterious. I'm looking at the side paneling here. It looks like a very normal paneling structure that you'd see.
It's just the fact that it's a pyramid is a little kind of weird.
Yeah, the shape
is... But it is unique. It's very cool.
Kind of weird. And there...
Is there any, like, county records available about this thing? Like, what parcel is it?
CYY also says, from information that can be gleaned amongst commenters, this house was custom built for an artist. When and how it became abandoned is unclear, but interest in the property sparked late last year after someone shared a TikTok video of it and refused to give out the location. Good for them.
Is it still available? Because I'll buy that thing.
I don't know if it's
available. If the bones are good, I'll make it work. If the bones are good.
Let's see if... I feel like if anybody's going to have the Zillow listing, it will be Reddit.
Yeah, Reddit will spill the beans on where this bad boy is.
Beer Can Alley, Bristol. That's some bullshit.
Don't know what the fuck that means. Yeah, I mean, someone said this is a carpenter's dream. So there's plenty of videos, but yeah, the structure is a little weird. I think I kind of buy the idea that it was probably an artist's house and maybe something happened with construction. They didn't want to be in this location anymore. People do that kind of shit all the time. That's why there are so many abandoned properties. But
that I'm more inclined to believe that than, you know, the aliens that were chasing that couple on the way home dropped a fucking house in the middle of the woods on their way out.
Yeah, that's a little bit more believable. Looking at the structure, it is very much built.
It's built.
A very built out thing. Kind of weird that there isn't any record, but I guess that it's something that's existed for quite a long time.
I'm sure that if you like dug in, I don't know.
I'm sure if anybody spent more than 10 minutes of research on this from
Q97.9.
Yeah, it's Q97.9.
I listened to a lot of Q97.9 as a child.
Can tell. Well, that's it for our episode today. Listeners, let us know if you think is this really aliens? What are your thoughts? I'd love to hear it. I'm not saying one way or the other. Again, I want to believe. Mm-hmm. I believe more in aliens than I do believe in ghosts. That's my feeling.
Fair.
Yeah.
If you want to have more discussion about this, the Allagash expedition, about aliens, there, you know, if you have stories, you can send them to Jackson, not to me, at homegrownhorrorpod@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us at homegrownhorrorpod on Instagram. And you can always, if you want, you can leave a review and some stars, but we're just happy that you're here and that you're going on this journey with us through all of Maine's spookiness.
Live long and prosper, homies.
Bye.